gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we are here to recap the Chicago Bulls 123-102 victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Before we do that, be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Follow my dude Goose at Bull Scripted. Follow me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review, because that is cool and tough. Goose, it was really good to begin, and then it got really scary, and then they just pulled away, man. I mean, ups and downs. The basketball gods bringing us back down to earth in this one, and then just for us to run away with it again.
No, the lead got cut down to 11, and Thad came sprinting off the bench. He came in for one play, and OKC ended up cutting it down to 9, and Billy called a timeout right after that. We ended up getting way too close for comfort, and then we came out of the second half, and apparently Billy's talk was like, hey, I mean, do you see who we're playing over there? Other than Shai, we don't have an NBA player with a resume on the other side of the floor. What are you guys doing? And, you know, they kicked it into high gear. Zach became the second Bulls player to have 40 points in, like, under 31 minutes. Only MJ, of course, was the other one to do that. Zach continues to put himself in the Chicago Bulls record books as, second best scorer in this season. That's amazing. I mean, the Bulls made it look easy. But like you did say, it did get a little weird there in the middle.
Yeah, I was just so surprised because the Bulls had went up 17. And when they went up 17, I was like, okay, I'm liking what I'm seeing here. And then all of a sudden, that traditional Chicago Bulls basketball that we always love to see, they let them back in. And I'm like, come on, dude. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me right now? Don't let them back in the game. Keep your foot on their throats and just keep going. Good teams beat the bad teams. We talk about this all the time. And it was just a situation where they were just playing harder. I mean, you know, you had Moses Brown come out and score 20 points and grab 16 boards. I'm not taking anything away from the kid, but he was starting to body us there for a little bit. And I was like, geez, man, we're really going to blow this. But they came out and responded to it. And, you know, they played a good game. They really did. They played a good game tonight. Zach was absolutely on fire. And it's the second game in a row where they come out with a dub with the lineup change.
Well, and I'm looking at the box score right now, and the other night we had, was it 9 or 10 players in double digits? I think it was 9, right?
Did we have 9 players in double digits?
Yes, we had 9 players in double digits. It was only the third time we did it in franchise history, last game.
Right. Oh, I thought you were talking about this game. I was like, what?
No, not this game. This game we only had 4 players.
4, yeah.
And you could guess who they were very easily. Thad, Shadow, Zach, Lowry. And yeah, I'm almost kind of curious if is that the game plan? Are we trying to find a way to see if Zach and Lowry can fit before this trade deadline comes? And obviously the last two games aren't a good enough indicator because they're not against good teams, but that seems to be kind of the concerted effort here is, can these two guys coexist in this stretch of games? And maybe that lends to the decision that has to be made here now in 9 days.
Yeah, it's so odd to me. I mean, Lauri Markkanen is still shooting the ball fantastic. He goes 50% from the floor tonight. He goes 3 for 9 from downtown. 7 for 14 from the field. 5 for 7 from the free throw line. 22 points, 5 boards, 2 blocks, 1 assist. It surprises me to a certain extent how these last two games – more confident he looks, and I don't know why, and I can't put my finger on it. Is it a lineup thing with not having Wendell in? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'd rather have Wendell in because I want to see him get better. I want to see the development. I want to see his confidence keep skyrocketing. He did start the second half, but I'm just – is it a mental thing? I don't know. I don't know. Why can't they play together?
At a certain point, it becomes a concern, though, too, because if Zach LaVine can't coexist with a non-ball dominant offensive co-star like Lowry, because Lowry doesn't need the ball, that might be the knock on Lowry, but that's why Lowry's supposed to fit with Zach. That's why the confusion of their lack of success together is there, because they should be, you know, a match made in heaven. And I think finally with this roster of just equal size all around, as we saw with Moses Brown, you know, starting his third game in the NBA, has a hell of a game. We are going to have some trouble with real size. I don't think the starting lineup is going to work against, you know, a real NBA team that's planning on playing basketball.
You see, and you bring up a good point, because this is a game where I feel like you and I earlier in the season would overanalyze what we did, how we did it, why we did it. And tonight, playing, like you said, to start the show off, no one on that team besides SGA has an NBA resume. You know, I mean, you got some players over there, you know, but
they got talent. I mean, yeah. We didn't see Dort tonight. You know, their actual players weren't playing basketball today.
Right. And it blows me away that, like, I do this to myself constantly as a fan and as somebody that covers the team with you in writing form, podcasting form. It's just, I saw a lot of good things and I just wish they could do it against better talent. And maybe these games of beating a team like the Thunder and moving into the tougher part of the schedule, one that starts coming up again, that they'll be able to compete better because the confidence is built and they have a feel for what they're trying to do. It's just, I look at like Lowry's game, because I know what Zach's going to do for the most part. I mean, listen, it's in the numbers, and I'm not a huge numbers guy. I love watching the game too, but it's in the numbers with Zach LaVine. It really is. And
he dropped 40 and 31. I keep looking down at the screen and I expect it to be 40 minutes and 31 points, and it's just not.
Right. I mean, I know what he's going to do. Thad has been doing this all year, and I was on the Rebuildable podcast last night with Matt Gentile. Super cool dude. And we were talking about Thad and whether to move him, what do you think? And we both settled on the opinion that if it was an unprotected first-round pick, you know, you pull the trigger on that, because I don't think that'll be here when we're competing. But you know what Thad's going to bring and what he's been doing all year. He's been playing great basketball. And there's no doubting that. It's just, I sit here and I stare at the screen. I stare at the box score. I watch the game and it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, kind of. It's like the best way I could put it. I don't know how else to say it. They confuse the fuck out of me. They really do.
Yeah, but it's a better confusion than last year, because as you pointed out, we actually are beating the teams that we're supposed to beat now. We weren't doing that before.
Well, last year made me more dumb than I already am. Like, that literally lowered my IQ points watching Chicago Bulls basketball. I got dumber. And, you know, I just, like I said, I know the capability. I know what Billy Donovan's capable of. I have that faith in the front office right now. You see these conflicting reports on whether or not they're going to be buyers or sellers. And I'm watching it. I'm like, do I get attached? Do I not get attached? Are they doing well right now? Yeah, obviously they're doing well, because they're kicking the shit out of this team. But is this a good thing? Like, all these things keep running through my mind, because I don't know where we're at. I don't.
We are literally in the middle of the middle. We're not good. We're not bad. We're not a lottery team. We're not a playoff team. We're a play-in team. They literally created a new section for us this year that we've somehow found our way to be in the middle of. And I want to be excited, because the best case scenario is probably double dipping, getting in that play-in, maybe making it to where you're playing for that 8 seed. You know, you already battled 10 and 9. Now you're the 9 battling the 8, and you lose that 8 and you still sneak into the lottery. And you still get a shot, you know, to get one of these guys at the top, and you still get a higher pick and you still get that experience. So maybe we can double dip. I don't know if that's a goal that you can aim for. That's probably got to be a harder test than tanking or pushing for the playoffs, but we seem to have found that sweet spot, and maybe they just do nothing. Thad has played so good this year that he's going to have this value in the offseason. So do you just ride it out? Like, I really don't know, because like you said, do you get attached? You have two games like this. We're not used to streaking anymore. We're like Knicks fans right now. They're 20 and 20. They're partying like it's the 70s. And, you know, we win 2 and 3 games in a row and we get a big smile on our face and we get excited and we don't know what we're excited about. And then we play a good team and we're like, oh, shit, not ready for this.
It's such a good way to put it, too. And, like, again, watching the game tonight, Zach hitting his looks, Zach hitting his shots, I feel like a broken record when we talk about him because this is just what he does every night. But the things that I saw from Lowry make me want to retract statements that I had said prior. And that's even going to Sunday's game, like when he played well. And he comes out tonight. He's not just going to shoot the three at this point anymore, man. He's literally cutting to the rim. I mean, you know, beautifully cutting, like you said, without the ball. With, you know, he's cutting to the rim. He's getting the ball on the top of the key. He's coming down. He's dunking on people. He's initiating contact. He did that all game. And I just, God, it drives me nuts because I don't know if it's sustainable with him.
Well, did you hear it on the broadcast that Billy called him out in the film session?
No, I did not hear that.
No, I guess Billy, I don't know what his exact words were, so don't quote me directly, but he pretty much asked Lowry during a film session, like, I know you can shoot and score. What else can you do to impact the game for me? So I don't know if calling him out has him, you know, rejuvenated, realizing that his contract's coming up. Maybe he doesn't want to be traded. Maybe his family likes it in Chicago, and he doesn't want to leave. And right now, at this point of his career, he doesn't have full control over that. So playing well would make him more valuable to this team. And I think in the first few games back here, he's done that. And his new role, I mean, I think Billy just simply understands what Jim Boylan didn't. And that's what these players are good at and what their weaknesses are and ways to actually hide those weaknesses. I think that's the best compliments that I've heard about Billy to this point is – he is adaptable. He can coach so many different ways, and he's not doing what Jim Boylan did in fitting his scheme to the players. He's doing the complete opposite.
Right. I could definitely agree with that assessment. Going back down a little bit of this box score, 24 minutes for the Rook tonight, Patrick Williams, 1-for-9, 0-for-2 from the three-point line, 2 points, 3 boards, no assists, 1 block. So he struggled tonight.
At Kobe?
Yeah.
No, like I said, the 4 guys that we named, I mean, I guess Wendell would be the 5th.
Wendell.
9-9. And he did, once again, Wendell came out really hot, started great. And then
aggressive.
He had that little slump where he missed a couple. And it was kind of funny, in garbage time, Roby had a post shot that actually, like, ended up banking in. And you could hear Wendell because you don't have the fans. I tipped that shit. I got a finger on that. So hopefully his confidence is coming back, because it would be nice. As I explained to somebody earlier, they were like, so, well, what can we get for Lowry then? Because if we're trading Thad or Lowry, I'd rather trade Lowry. And I said, well, why? You can probably get more for Thad. Lowry fits the timetable of this team. If you trade Thad and you open up that cap space, you get a positive asset, you get money that makes it easier to pay Lowry, and then you get Wendell Carter Jr. back into the starting lineup, where we need to see that development. Wendell Carter Jr. still has questions to be answered. We know who Thad is. And I love Thad. And there's no doubt that he has been the second best. He played 22 minutes tonight, and he almost had a triple-double. I can't believe it. Like, I saw him playing in the fourth.
He damn near had a triple-double.
Close to crunch time. And I was like, what the hell is he doing out there? I didn't realize he only played 22 minutes, because we do play tomorrow night.
Yeah, I just – all the questions that I wish I could answer or have a better understanding of, I just can't right now. But I'll take the win. You know, I mean, it's nice to see them kick some ass when they should. And that is a key to development, in my opinion, you know, is beating teams like we've said all year long that you're supposed to beat.
Are the Spurs without DeRozan a team you're supposed to beat?
Yeah, so we're going to go into that game right now. Looks like Diop is day-to-day, and DeRozan is out with personal issues. So the Bulls will be playing San Antonio without those two players in the court. So, you know, like you said before we came on the air, it just seems like they're gifted. They're gifted another team that's not playing at full strength, and this might be another team that they, you know, take advantage of. And it's another game at home at the United Center that starts at 7 p.m.
All right, so it's not 8 o'clock, so you will be awake for the post game.
Yeah, dude, those 8 o'clock games are so bullshit, man. I swear, like I hate that so much. Like when they're on the West Coast, we miss those post games. We have to like double them up into other games and try to talk about them just because I cannot, dude. I'm up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock every day. No chance I'm making it.
And I'm going to those games. Time, so
I know, yeah, you're a night owl, dude. I can't do it anymore, man. I just can't.
If I didn't lose my job in the pandemic, I couldn't do it either. But right now, yeah, I get to go back to being a night owl in my natural habitat.
Yeah, I like, even like when I worked on the rail, dude, like I was able to stay up all night long. No problem. Just kind of did what my schedule was. I can't do those late games, but thankfully tomorrow it is a 7 p.m. start. And, you know,
are we going to get three in a row? Is that what's going to happen?
It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible. I mean, you know,
would you bet on it? What's do we have the line for tomorrow?
Let me see. I cannot see it yet. You put me on the spot, damn it.
I know. I tend to do that.
You do.
This isn't one that you usually have up either. So this is a totally my bad moment.
Yeah, this is my bad moment where I have to ask you to talk so I could find the damn spread. So I'm just gonna go over here to Bet Rivers. Well, and
I would
see
be
if I can find
to say
it.
That I've watched a lot of Spurs games.
I have not. I have not.
Aldridge is not playing, correct?
Yeah, it's correct. So it's actually minus 110 for the Bulls tomorrow, minus 110 for the Spurs, and then the Spurs money line is minus 102, and the Bulls is minus 116.
Okay, so that's a game that you'd bet on. That's close enough to where you can make some money, and it's a winnable game for the Bulls. No.
Precisely.
No. Aldridge, I just – no, DeRozan, and I get Marcus is not who he used to be anymore, but this is a game we got to win. We need to get three in a row because I know we have Denver and Utah coming up in this mix, and those are the games that we really have to worry about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before we get done with this episode, we have to bring in ad read by our friends at Manscaped.
Oh, jeez.
And we have to. We love it. We love it. So be sure to go to manscaped.com for all your manscaping needs using promo code ONTAP. You get 20% off and free shipping on every manscaping product you need. Spring right around the corner. Spring break coming up. Make sure you get the Lawnmower 3.0. It really helps you out, makes you look nice and fresh and nice and clean. Get your ball deodorant, which, hey, we've talked about. I use that. I use ball deodorant, man. I want to smell good. So, you know what I'm saying? They're not in use anymore because I have two children. But I still like to remain fresh and clean, my friend. So, everybody be sure to go to manscaped.com using promo code ONTAP. 20% off, free shipping, and hopefully I remember to send Goose his care package that's in my basement right there.
Oh, so the package still has not been given to Jamie. My friend's dogs cannot enjoy the ball deodorant in my package yet. Huh?
Right. That is it's very true. I'll get to it eventually. But yeah, so Bulls play Spurs tomorrow, like we just talked about. And you know, after that it gets harder, you know. I would like to say that you're gonna learn what this team is, but I can't put my finger on it. Especially with this new lineup, because I do feel like they're playing a little bit better. I feel like there's a spark. I mean, you have San Antonio, then you have Denver, Detroit, whatever. Utah, Cleveland, San Antonio again, Golden State, Phoenix, Utah, Brooklyn, Indiana. Jesus Christ. April's going to be a crazy start to the month.
Yeah, I mean, so we get to the trade deadline. We're getting gifted all these games that make us maybe a little closer than we should be. And then we come out of the trade deadline, and it's rut-row if you're not really ready to go. So do you think we're going to be buyers? Like, are we that intent? I get Billy's here. Like, I've said it all year. You've said it all year. Anybody with, you know, common sense has said it all year. Billy Donovan is not here to lose. He didn't come here to tank. He didn't come here to intentionally throw games. I was very surprised to see the, you know, all-rookie contract lineup plus Zach to last half the season. And I'm sure if they played worse, we would have seen the changes come sooner, but they managed to stay close in games and you could see positive development, even if the, you know, net rating was ugly as shit. So what do they do, man? Like, this is such a weird spot to be in because I think we're going to win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think we win tomorrow night. I think we win tomorrow night. We're on a roll right now.
And then we're 19-20. And then you're right around, you know, 500, what it takes to be an ace seed in the East. I do not want to be this. I wouldn't want to be this front office. This is...
That's what I keep telling people on Twitter when they say we should do this, we should do that. I was like, I don't want, or when even when Matt asked me last night what I would do, I have no idea. I'm glad I'm not in this spot because I have no idea what the hell to do right now.
No, I mean, we expected these changes in the offseason, or at least I did, because this has been kind of set up for, you know, put on a tee. The cap space is open. The first round picks are here. The young assets are flying around. They got to make a number four overall pick, a higher draft pick than has been made, you know, walking into it. So this has been put on a platter, but the platter looks like so nice with just the decor and not any like main course or real food out there right now. You don't want to mess it up because it could be something beautiful, but if you overcook the turkey, it could get ugly real quick too. And the turkey could be Thad Young leaving. The turkey could be Lowry leaving. Like, one piece could really turn into something catastrophic. Or great. You're playing with dynamite either which way. And
I'll say one thing about it, it's exciting.
It is. I mean, and I just want something to happen. Like, I'm just a little kid on Christmas. I want to see what, you know, the finished product is. Like, what's under the wrapping paper here? But
I might take a couple, maybe a year or so to unwrap, my friend.
Can you do it, Buzz?
I know, it sucks. It's hard.
We're down to 9 days. I need it in 9 days. What are you talking about, a year?
Yeah, well, you'll get your answer at the trade deadline in 9 days, but the finished product for what AK and Mark Eversley and Billy have up their sleeves is going to be a while out. But that's all I have for today, man. You know, good win for the Bulls. They beat a team that they were supposed to beat. Zach was absolutely in fuego. Lowry, once again, played a great game. Thad. You know, and Tomas Satoransky, we didn't give him enough time. We should have 13.7 assists for Sato, 4-for-7 from the field.
The orchestrator.
Yeah, that's what we're calling him, the orchestrator. He's very good in the starting
very
lineup.
Very
orchestrating in the starting lineup, which I wish it could have been Kobe, because that's what I wanted it to be, because I do like Kobe White. I just wish he can get it together a little bit and stop with the struggles. But I got nothing else, man. You got anything?
Hey, no. I mean, anytime your starters only have to play 30 minutes, Thad Young only gets 20 minutes on the night of a back-to-back and you take care of business, that's good news. So let's carry this shit over, continue the streak, and make the front office's decisions even harder, because that's all winning's doing right now. And losing's easy. If we were winning more games than we have been too, it would be even easier. But being right in the middle here, this is going to be a fun 9 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bulls Scripted, me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. We'll be back tomorrow night after the Bulls play the Thunder. Oh, the Thunder. I'm sorry. After the Bulls play the Spurs and hopefully pick up a third straight dub. Let's go, Bulls.